been for a while, and there's a reason for that, which I will explain in my sermon. So just wait for that. We are going to start with a reading from the Gospel of John. So if you can take out your pew Bibles, and in your pew Bibles, it's on 1596. Once you've found it, you can indicate by giving me a thumbs up. Got a thumbs up? This is what we do in my class. I'm studying to be a teacher, so we do a lot of hand signals with the kids. Few people have it. Some people got it. Great. Okay. Still looking for it. It's on 1596 in your pew Bibles. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all of them on his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him, because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him, because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said it again. Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. So ends the reading from God's word. My first slide, if you'd be able to put that up. I'm going to be talking about sheep partway through, but first, as we come from a city where there is not so many shepherds or sheep herders, or in fact, sheep of any kind, we are going to talk about our current context, which is an information age. Then we're going to look at a painting of the Good Shepherd, and we're going to talk about what we see in that picture and what it tells us about who Jesus is. Then I'm going to offer you another understanding of Jesus from my own personal story of healing. Afterwards, I'm going to look at read another passage from Scripture from John where Jesus heals at the sheep gate, and then we'll conclude. So this is our roadmap for today. Throughout our lives, our parents' lives, our grandparents' lives, we have witnessed these significant milestones, which are technological changes. And I cannot think of one better example than what was shared at my grandfather's funeral. My grandfather, I've probably talked about him before, and my grandmother immigrated from Holland. And they moved to a small place just north of Owen Sound called Parkhead. And when they moved to this community, they began farming. Now, it was significant that the community, the Parkhead community, during the 1950s, raised money and bought for my grandparents their very first telephone. They didn't have a telephone before. They realized the importance of having a telephone to be able to share information in case of emergency and to connect the wider community to this new family that had immigrated from another place. Now, fast forward to when I was growing up, and there was another significant milestone, another technological change that many of you probably take for granted. Now, if you could show the next slide here. There's the telephone. Okay, next slide after that. There. That's me and my brothers and my dad. My dad was a computer programmer. And because he was a computer programmer, he would have the latest technology. He had a great computer, and we had, very before anybody else that I knew, we had a dial-up modem. Now, some of you remember this. A dial-up modem allowed you to use your telephone to access the internet. You had a separate device that would tap into your telephone and make these weird sounds. And that would allow you to go and call into a faraway place. For my dad, we had to call in on AOL servers on the East Coast to be able to find information. And us being kids, what did we want? We wanted to play video games. So my dad would set it up the night before to download a video game over the telephone, and then we would we'd go to sleep, and we'd wake up in the morning and be like, did it work? Did it download? It took all night. And then somebody had picked up the telephone and ruined it. And so there was all a bunch of garbled mess. The game didn't work. So it was always a surprise. It took a long time to get information. But this idea of the internet expanding our access to information was very exciting at the time. It was such a profound shift to what we had before. And there was a great push to make the internet available in households and also in schools. We have now living in a day and age where my daughters and I and our family, we traveled to Montreal. And the idea that the internet is not available is something that is kind of foreign to them. It's when we did this long trip to Montreal and we were in the car for over 6-7 hours, you know, I'd turn on my hotspot on my phone, which would allow the children in the car to use the internet all at the same time for about half an hour before they became screen zombies. And there'd be places along that trip where there would be experienced dead zones. And our kids were like, "What? Where's the internet? Why did it stop working?" And I was like, yes, there are places in the world where the internet is not available on your cell phone. It's kind of boggles the mind, but that so comprehensively have now that we have this access to information, when that's taken away, suddenly we're left wondering, what's wrong? I can't access the internet. I can't. Information age is what we live in, and it's become so prevalent for us to be able to quickly turn to our cell phones to answer any question that we have, to be able to find an answer. The question here today is the information enough? Is having the information enough to solve the biggest problems of our lives? Look here, this is the next solution. The next milestone is ChatGPT. This is Google Gemini, generative AI. Now, many of you are familiar, some of you are not, and there's so much information available now that we have now tools, computer tools that run over the internet that recognize the patterns in our language, in our information. It figures it out so it can tell us what the most relevant things are for us to understand. There's so much information, we need something else to collect it all and then summarize it for us, so that we can make sense of it. And this is the next stage in this information age. And as you can see on my bar there, there's lots of things that I've used it for. How I can make a lime salad dressing, for example. But one of the first things I tried to do, I'll tell you the truth, the first thing I tried to do with ChatGPT and Gemini, you know, working as a pastor, I said, write me a sermon. And it would come up with something. But it was like uncanny. It was like the pictures that you have where it creates a generative AI picture and there's like seven fingers. It looks right, but it's not, and it doesn't have the same heart. With these new tools, there's also, we are becoming aware of the holes. We may have the information. We may have the way to summarize information using ChatGPT. But we still need a human touch, a human way of bringing life. And this can be thought of no more than the example of, sadly, tragically, teenagers using ChatGPT, Google AI, to try to solve their problems of loneliness. They're looking for answers in their isolation. They're looking for this connection, and they see in this powerful tool that's now available a way of trying to find comfort, consolation. But sadly, it does not bring the human touch. And we saw this very tragically in the example of the Tumblr Ridge shooter who used ChatGPT and later committed this awful crime. There is something that it offers to us is only a mirror of ourselves, these tools. But in the person of Jesus, we have something else that interrupts us and tells and breaks through and offers us comfort and the healing that we so desperately need. And that's the title of the sermon. Is Jesus my comforter? My healer. So say that to yourself. Jesus my comforter and my healer. That's our sermon title today. So that's the big context. We're now going to look at a picture of the Good Shepherd. Take a look. What do you see? Does anybody notice anything? You can raise your hand, or if you want just to talk. I'll tell you, I did the same sermon at Egerton Baptist, and they were not shy about saying anything. So first, multicolored sheep, that was something that was brought up as well. Why is that significant? Diversity, exactly. We have diversity of sheep that are loved and cared for by Christ the Good Shepherd. Is there anything else that we see in this picture that tells us about Jesus? Yes. The love. And yes. And you're showing with your hands that he's carrying something, right? I would assume that's a young lamb or perhaps an injured lamb, right? And Jesus is carrying that. Sheep, I'll tell you something, are unlike goats. Sheep need a shepherd. I grew up on a farm with sheep. And the busiest time of the year was lambing season. Unlike goats and other animals, sheep need a midwife, a shepherd, a shepherdess, to help them give birth and care for them. And oftentimes, we would have a lamb for whatever reason. The mother couldn't feed it, didn't feed it. And we'd take that lamb into our house and we would bottle feed it. We would care for it. Is there anything else you see in this picture that says something about Jesus and our relationship to Jesus? That's right. Jesus is leading them through a valley. You can see in the valley that there is. What is in the valley? There's food. There's provision. Jesus is leading them in from a place, who knows, where there probably wasn't enough rain or there wasn't enough food, into a place now where there is food and provision. This is how he cares for his flock, and the flock is following him. Is there anything else that we see here? The sheep follow Jesus. It's not Jesus is not at the back. Jesus is at the front of the picture. And the sheep, we can imagine, hear his voice and are following him into this valley, this protected area. There is, in the background, there is these cliffs. And you can imagine that in these cliffs, if you've seen the movie David, are these natural stables, places that, caves where you would have a sheephold. They're called sheepholds. And the sheep would gather in there, and there would be in these places, at the very entrance, maybe a gate, or the shepherd would stand at the front of the sheephold. So in the cave, it was safe, and the shepherd would guard the entrance when the sheep were sleeping. This was a natural feature. The nation of Israel, I've never been there, lends itself to sheep and goats. Its natural terrain is what makes it such a good place to have these animals. And there's that interrelationship with them. I read a passage from John chapter 10. And what is significant is that in that passage, Jesus offers himself as this image. Who is he speaking to? Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. And it's important to realize what came before in chapter 9. In chapter 9, a man who was healed goes to the Pharisees and shows himself to be healed. And he was born blind at birth, and the Pharisees say to him, "You are telling us lies." And he says, "No, I have testify that this man Jesus healed me." And they criticize Jesus for healing on the Sabbath. And what's more, they cast out that man from their synagogue. They throw him out the door. They tell him he is no longer allowed to be with them. And instead, Jesus speaks after that event and tells another story. The Pharisees, they offered a strict rules. If you follow these rules, you're going to be in God's good books, and you're going to belong to his people, and then you will inherit the good life. There will be God's blessing if you follow these strict rules. And they figured it out, calculated it. How many steps? Pharisees knew exactly how many steps you could have on the Sabbath before that became work. You could take so many steps, and if you took one more step, then now you were breaking the Ten Commandments, and you were not. You got to admit, that's pretty impressive that they came up with this number. I don't know if I could do that. But they had a number for how many steps you could take, and they had every single circumstance figured out. They taught the people exactly what they needed to know. They gave them all the information that they needed. They believed that information would bring them salvation. But Jesus offers them something else. Jesus doesn't offer them necessarily the information. He offers them himself. He tells them about him as the good shepherd. Now, as we explained before, you all know about shepherds. I'm curious to know if you have been to a sheep farm recently, done your research, that's why you know. Maybe not. Maybe you know this information because you've been in church for a little while and you've heard stories about Christ the Good Shepherd and you've heard stories about what it means to be a shepherd. But there's another group of people that have no idea what a shepherd is. And we could tell them all about Christ the Good Shepherd. And maybe you're one of those people today. You're like, I don't get it. I don't understand. I've never seen a shepherd. The last time I saw a sheep was 10 years ago. I have another image that I would like to offer to you. Jesus has used examples of many ways he describes himself. He describes himself as a gate. He describes himself as the vine. There's a way to the true life. There's living water. There's so many ways that Jesus described himself. But today I want to talk about one that really had a profound impact on me. It's in Luke. Jesus, the good physician, the good doctor. Okay, let's tell you a story. So I needed help. I had last year, the end of December, developed chronic back pain. You can skip over this slide. That we already talked about that. So I developed chronic back pain. And it was at the place where I was thinking, I need to do something about this. What if I just take some time off? It's Christmas break. And it didn't help. The pain just got worse, in fact. So I went to see a massage therapist. It felt nice, but it did not help. The next day, I still had chronic back pain. So then I called our doctor's office. And the doctor's office said to me, well, have you tried taking back medication? And I said, back pain medication. I said, well, thank you very much. I will do that today. So I started taking back medication. I was taking 6-8 of these pills a day to alleviate the pain in my back. There was an underlying problem that I needed to resolve. And I needed to change something. So as soon as the office opened after the break, I called Brian. Who's Brian, you ask? Who is this mystery man? Well, Brian is my physiotherapist. And if you've never been to a physiotherapist is different from a doctor. They do not prescribe medication. They prescribe a change in your life. You have to do the work, not the pills. They tell you, they're very nice about it, at least mine is. He'll give you a script to make changes. And what's more, first what he does, they investigate. They'll ask you questions. They'll find out, where is the source of your pain? And for me, I said, well, the pain is in my back. Brian, who is my physiotherapist, said, I think the pain is in your neck. I think the pain is because you slouch. You're looking down when you need to look up. You're sitting back in your car instead of sitting forward. You need to stand up straight. Now, you can tell, you've probably seen me before, I'm a sloucher, my dad was a sloucher, I get it honestly. But to be able to solve this chronic pain in my back, I needed to finally make the changes that I knew I needed to change for so many years. It got to the place, I knew I was a sloucher, I knew I had bad posture, but it got to a place where I couldn't ignore it anymore. I had chronic pain, I had to call Doss and say, Doss, I can't preach. I was supposed to preach here in January. I said, I cannot preach. I have chronic back pain. I'm doing everything I can to try to resolve it. I can't take this on. And thankfully, Doss was able to help me and fill in for me. But when you have this problem, and maybe some of you do, where you're experiencing chronic pain of some kind, way, shape, or form, you get to a place where you realize that you will do anything to resolve that. You will do anything because it takes over your life. It becomes everything you think of. And so I was ready to make the change. So he gave me some exercises. I worked the exercises. And I'll tell you, at first it didn't work. But I had faith. I went back to Brian. Brian said, just keep doing it. And God, I believe, worked through this man to heal me. God is, of course, the wellspring of all good things. And so God, in his perfect genius, gave us physiotherapists to help us when we have bad posture. So Where does it leave us today? I have a few more things I want to talk about. But the first is, if you are today and you're reaching out, your prayer life is to God, help me. Help me, God. I have this situation in my life. There's something broken. There's this pain I'm feeling. I'm feeling isolated. But you're not listening to God. But you're not listening to the Bible that you're reading. If you're not listening to the friends, the godly friends that God put in your life, you're not listening to preachers that God is using to speak to you. God wants you to have life and change, that not to experience pain. He wants you to, like that picture of the Good Shepherd, to be in abundance, green pastures, safe, secure. God wants that for each and every one of you. But we have to listen to his voice. We have to listen to what he's saying to us. We have to be open to hear the Good Shepherd and how he leads us. Christ, the physiotherapist, and the direction that he's giving to us in our lives. And that's where we're going to experience comfort, but more importantly, healing. There's a story here. We're going to move on. The story here in the Bible, which explains this so perfectly. It takes place at a sheep gate. And I'm going to read it. This is Jesus, John chapter 5, verse 5. You can follow along in your Bibles if you want, or you can look on the screen. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now, there is in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Can you picture it in your mind? Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" Do you want to get well? That's what Jesus is asking for you today. That profound question, do you want to get well? And what happens next? "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." And at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. Praise God for the healing that God can do in our lives. Some of you here today, you know that there are changes that you need to make in your life. There may be a relationship that requires humility and healing. There may be a debt that is keeping you up at night. There may be a job that you have been working that you know is not right for you. But you're scared. You're scared of taking the next step. You might be scared right now because when you tried to make the change the last time, it didn't work. And you're like that man waiting by the pool. You feel paralyzed. And just like that paralytic man, you may have been looking and waiting for someone to help you, perhaps your entire life. And I know there's people here, and you could be one of them, who instead of getting help, have been told or shown that you're not worth it. Here's the truth. They didn't help you because they didn't know how. But you don't have to do it alone. Jesus is walking with you. Jesus is coming your way. Now I'm going to ask you to say something. This is not something we do normally, but I want you to repeat after me. Let's say this together. Jesus knows me. Jesus knows me. Say this. Jesus cares for me. Jesus cares for me. Say this. Jesus wants more for me. Jesus wants more for me. Last one. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Call out Jesus' name. Like that man, he'll hear you. Friends, people at First, I know what it feels like. I know what it feels like to have someone tell me that I'm not good enough. But the truth is that when they said that to me, or they made me feel that way, it wasn't coming from them. Remember our passage. It's the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. It can come from someone else, and it can come from our own heart. We can deceive ourselves into thinking we're not worth it. We can deceive ourselves to thinking that we don't matter, but you do matter. God cares deeply for each and every one of you. And look at that picture. You can bring that up, picture up again. The last one with Jesus the Good Shepherd. There's two, should be the last slide. This one, yes. If you can't do it, imagine yourself as that little lamb, that injured lamb. Jesus will carry you like a good shepherd carries a lamb. Amen. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for this morning and your message to each and every one of us and how you love us so deeply and you speak to us as a shepherd does, and we want to respond. We want to hear your voice. We think of the people in our lives that have not been able to help us. Forgive them, God. And we thank you for the people in our lives, the godly people that have spoken into our lives, that have given direction to us, that have given us life, the people that have been able to, like this physiotherapist, bring us healing. We thank you for that, God. Help us to make the changes in our lives so that we can address the underlying hurt and pain that is keeping us from the beautiful, abundant life that you want for us. God, we ask this. We cry out for you. In your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.